So we are now going to be having Stephen Patterson on the phone. Stephen, are you there?
I'm here, Matthew. Thank you.
Oh, good. Great. I always love it when technology works. It's so often...
So often it doesn't.
Yeah, so often doesn't. You know, it's this... You know, I managed to disconnect myself from a call this morning, and I was very... And they had my number. I thought they'd call me back, but they didn't.
Uh-oh.
Well, I wish I could be there in the studio with you, but we have our first preview for our show that's opening tonight. So we're frantically doing all kinds of last-minute stuff here.
Okay, I'm sure you are, and that's why I suggested that we do it at 4:15 as opposed to 5:15, because you'll be even more crazed at 5:15 than you are at this minute. So...
Stephen, this is Ellen Thurston. I'm here as well. And,
hey, Ellen.
Hi. I wanted to say how much I enjoyed your performance at Le Red Dot, as for some reason or other we're calling it now.
It was Oil of Dog by Ambrose Bierce.
Ambrose Bierce, yes.
Oh, it was a wonderful story.
It was just, you did it wonderfully. It was great.
Well,
we really had a
so,
good
so
cycle.
Macabre.
Yeah, it is. And we had such a really wonderful group of players that night with macabre stories, all of them.
Yeah, well, the entire evening was so delightful. I was able to listen to the podcast.
Oh, great.
So, you know, I got to hear everything I missed because I had to come back to rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm so glad. So you're rehearsing Lanford Wilson's Redwood Curtain. And so can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, a little bit about Lanford Wilson, because he's not incredibly well known. It's not like Moss Hart or other people or
William
Shakespeare. Or
amazing playwright. Probably most famous for a trilogy of plays he wrote about a single family. The first of which was The Fifth of July, which dealt with, like Redwood Curtain, sort of the hangover from the Vietnam War era. And then it went back many, many years. He got a Pulitzer Prize for the second play in the trilogy, Tally's Folly, which was about one of the characters who's getting quite elderly in Fifth of July is back when she's in her 40s. And having a romance at the beginning of World War II. And the third play in the trilogy also takes place that same night, but up at the house while she is down being courted in a little boathouse down by the lake. So they're wonderful plays. He wrote a play called Hot L Baltimore, which is also absolutely wonderful. He wrote for many, many years for a company in Greenwich Village called Circle Repertory Theater.
Right.
And many of his plays have very, very large casts because he wrote parts specifically for actors in that company. And, you know, they love to use as many people in the company as possible in the show. So his plays have casts of, like, you know, 15. Mm-hmm. Redwood Curtain, fortunately, only has three.
Yes, and Hot L Baltimore was the one I was thinking of because that also was a very short-lived television series.
Television series, yes.
Yes. So tell us about Redwood Curtain.
Redwood Curtain was done in the early 90s on Broadway. It was not a success, and I think one of the reasons that it was not a success is because it got lost in a cavernous Broadway theater. Our theater is 84 seats, and I think this is a very, very intimate play. And really, really touching. And I think it just got lost in a big Broadway theater. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful piece. Takes place in the Northern California town of Arcata, which is right near Eureka. It's the home of Humboldt State University. Lanford Wilson was teaching there some workshops in playwriting to the students. And during the time that he was living there, he kept encountering all of these homeless vets who would come into town and do odd jobs and scrounge through garbage cans and panhandle. And he asked his students, who are these people? He said, these are veterans who came back from Vietnam and felt they couldn't fit back into society. they disappeared into the redwoods up there and basically just lived in the woods. It reminded them a lot of the jungle that they had come back from. It was quiet. It was private, and so out of that he wrote this play. That was the sort of germ that got him started on writing this piece.
Is this a true story, or
no? It is. It's not based on. It's based on things on actual people, but not on specific people. The story itself is completely fictional.
Mm-hmm. Inspired by truth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sort of, but yeah, no, it was not a story that he heard. It was more like a general event that was occurring there, and that he just used as an inspiration to create a story of his own.
Now, who's in the cast?
Two wonderful actors from New York City named Julie Pham and Joseph Tisa. Julie plays a 17-year-old Vietnamese-American adoptee whose American GI father abandoned her in Saigon when she was still an infant. She was adopted by wealthy American parents as a very, very young child, and as she has turned out to be a world-class piano prodigy. But she spends almost every summer up with her aunt in Arcata, and she's trying to find out. She has a few clues about who her father was, and she goes into the forest and tries to talk to these vets to find out if any of them know who he is, or actually she's really looking to find if he's there in the forest. So, and Joseph Tisa plays this vet who she follows into the forest, and who seems to have some knowledge of links to her past. And then Molly Parker Myers, who's a local favorite of ours, she's been in quite a few of our shows, is playing Jerry's Aunt Geneva, who is a timber heiress and lives in Arcata. That's where Jerry stays when she comes and spends summers there. But her timber business is now being bought out by large corporate interests. It's a family timber business that's been there for generations, that have responsibly and sustainably harvested the forest there. But now it's all going to be taken over by I think it's called a gasket company from Pittsburgh, and some businessman from Texas. And she's really, really afraid that they're just going to come in and completely clear cut the trees. So, you know, the whole play is really about America and trying to forget all of, you know, the nightmares of its past, and, you know, just not really wanting to deal with them, and the fact that they really have to be faced.
Well, it's very timely indeed, since, first of all, Veterans Day is right around the corner.
Yeah. And well, that's one of the reasons that we wanted to schedule this piece.
Well, then
we did a piece on Veterans Day a couple of years ago with a very good actor friend of mine named Logan Black called Bond, which was about the time that he spent in Iraq and Afghanistan with his bomb-sniffing dog, Diego. Hmm. And that was hugely popular. We did that over Veterans Day weekend. And so we really wanted to do something again for Veterans Day, and this piece really, really relates. I think a lot of people are really going to find a lot of really wonderful stuff in it.
Also, there's Ken Burns' film, which has some remarkable footage.
Right, which has just been on PBS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredible. So when you cast actors from New York, do you do auditions there, or how do you... You probably know a lot of actors. That's number one.
We know a lot of actors. And many times, you know, when we actually put our seasons together and pick the plays, we have specific people who we know in mind mm-hmm. for a lot of the roles. Mm-hmm. But then there are other ones that we don't. We wanted really very, very much to find a Vietnamese actress to play the part of Jerry in this. And we didn't know any. So that was one of the roles that we went into the city for, mm-hmm. and we're lucky enough to find Julie. She's really, really marvelous in this.
Well, I'm always amazed when I hear that the Bridge Street Theater is doing this or that, and I think, how do they do it? It's just nonstop production, it seems like. And I didn't realize your theater was quite that small.
It is.
So
yeah,
the box office doesn't yield enough to keep going, it seems to me, at
right.
the rate that you're going. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, we knew that when we bought the building that we wanted to keep our ticket prices really, really low.
Mm-hmm.
Living here in Greene County, we know there aren't a lot of people here who have a lot of disposable income. And we want everybody who wants to come see our shows to at some point be able to do that. So we keep the ticket prices low. Our main stage shows, we always have two performances, our first preview, which we're having tonight, and then our first Sunday matinee, are always pay what you will. So people can come to the door and pay whatever it is they feel they can afford to come see the show.
And that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And you do programs in the schools too, don't you?
We have been doing some stuff. John always designs the set for the high school musical over at Catskill High. He's done that for the last 5 years.
And John is John Soule, who is your
John
co-founder.
John Soule, who is directing this production. He's also, the co-founder and the artistic director here. Yeah, but we've done workshops over at Catskill High. We are really hoping next summer. We're in the process of putting together our season for next year, and there's a show that we want to do in the summer that we hope is going to use a huge, huge cast of children and young people in collaboration with professional actors.
Great.
So really looking forward to that. We'll be sure to disseminate all the information as soon as that is absolutely confirmed.
Stephen, are you the only theater for miles around? I'm trying to think of, I know of any others
There are several that are here in the region. Not too many that are doing the same kind of thing that we're
right.
doing. There's a wonderful small theater called the Tangent Theater over in Tivoli, which is, down almost nothing in Greene County.
Yeah.
There are several, theater schools that are here for children and young people. But really, when we bought this building, one of the reasons we did it was we wanted to do our work over here in Greene County. And we looked and looked and looked, and there was not a space of the size that we thought was going to be right for the type of work that we did over here. So we made the decision to create it ourselves.
Good for you. Good for us. Because I enjoy going over there. What exactly are the dates of Redwood Curtain and the times?
Well, tonight, right. Tonight is the first public performance. We play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings and Sunday matinees, but for 2 weekends only. So it goes from tonight, November 2nd, until November 12th. The evening performances are at 7:30, and our doors open half an hour before that. And our Sunday performances are at 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And daylight saving time starts on Sunday.
This Sunday, yes.
Just
so if you forget to turn your clock back, you'll show up an extra hour early. So don't do that. Don't do that. You'll be trapped out on the street.
Okay.
Sitting in your car, twiddling your thumbs, or playing solitaire on your phone.
Or eating leftover Halloween candy.
Yes, we've just done.
Yeah, I almost choked on a Milky Way.
Oh, no.
But I'm here.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So what happens after Redwood Curtain with the Bridge Street Theater?
We just have a few more events for 2018. The following weekend, we have 2017.
Yes.
A couple more events that are happening. A Beacon-based band named Stephen Clare and the Pushbacks are coming in on the 18th at 7:30 to do a CD release party. And then the following afternoon, on Sunday the 19th, we have a classical Indian musician named Ustad Shafat Khan, who's coming in to do an entire afternoon. The first half of the program is classical Indian music, just him on a sitar and tabla and vocals. And then he's joined by two more musicians for the second half of the program, doing a sort of east-west fusion. And that should be really, really spectacular. Then we're taking the week off for Thanksgiving and letting everybody stay home with their families.
And including then, yourself?
Yeah, oh, yes. Then the final event that we have scheduled for this year is on December 1st and 2nd. We're bringing up two incredible cutting-edge 1X for adults only.
I think that's December 1st and 2nd.
First and second, correct.
Yeah, December
they're
1st
called the
and
Fridge
second.
Play. These were two 1X, one called Nick and Zoe by Daniel Talbot, another called Sad Indie Love Song by Steve McMahon. These were done as a double bill at a recent festival that was given by Arctic Group in New York City called the Fridge Festival. And they did 10 one-act plays. The only thing any of them had in common was they all had a refrigerator on stage. And both of these plays...
Well, you have to have
some
theme to keep it
hanging
together.
Involve refrigerator, but they're two... they're very, very different. But, yeah, language, subject matter, everything else is very, very adult in these. So, yeah, we want to emphasize... You know, you don't want to bring the kiddies to these, but they are so exciting. It's just like grab you by the throat theater. With the entire original cast coming up from New York City to do them.
It's amazing what keeps us together. The refrigerator.
I know. Yes.
A great symbol.
We love that. Now, I just want to remind our listeners that this is WGXC Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
90.7 FM
and
on
WGXC.org.
The radio
dial. Yes. Anyway, Stephen, what else should we know?
Not much. Just, you know, stay tuned. You should... If your listeners would like to check in at bridgestreettheater.org online, we always put everything up on the website that is going to be coming up. We will soon be making our season announcement for 2018. So people who are interested in seeing what we're going to be doing next year, you know, will want to keep their eye out for that. Most of our tickets can be sold or bought in advance online at brownpapertickets.com. Or, you know, most of the time you can get into our shows, you know, just showing up a half hour before the show starts and you can buy tickets at the door.
Though not always. Because
not
always.
Sometimes people thought, you know, oh, it's going to be no problem, and have shown up and we've been sold out. So
yeah, that happened.
Yeah, if you want to be guaranteed, it's probably good to pre-purchase your tickets.
Do you allow standing room only? Because
the theater is so intimate, you can't stand in our theater. Also, because of the fire code here.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we only have 84 seats is our building is not allowed to have an occupancy of any more than 100 at one time. If we had had that, we would have had to have put in a $40,000 sprinkler system throughout the entire building. And we couldn't really afford to do that. So,
got it.
So, yeah, it is an amazing small space. The acoustics in there are wonderful. The sight lines are great. There's, you know, everybody says this, but there literally is not a bad seat in the house.
No,
and you feel
true.
Like you're right on top of the action. It's really a marvelous place to see theater.
Well, that's great. So everybody, Redwood Curtain by Lanford Wilson, one of the great American playwrights, not as well known as I think he should be, but he is a wonderful playwright.
I agree.
Yes. So people go to Redwood Curtain at the Bridge Street Theater, bridgestreettheater.org.
Thank you so much.
We're located at 44 West Bridge Street in the Village of Catskill, right across the Uncle Sam Bridge from Main Street.
Good to know.
Good to know. My car almost knows its way there.
Well, I just have
just
to
drop the reins on the horse and it just walks right there. Right,
exactly.
I just have to ask a question of Matt, which is, how did you get Stephen's voice on the air in such what appears to be such an easy fashion, because usually we do it through Skype.
I just use my phone.
As an easier way, I mean, a way of getting a better sound.
Right, but my phone is good as Skype.
It's perfectly capable. Yeah.
You know, I just plugged it into the auxiliary board.
Well, I want to thank Stephen for coming on the air and sounding so great and so clear.
Oh, well, listen, thank you so much for having us on. I'm sorry I was not able to be there in the studio, but
we understand.
Yeah, we're putting out a lot of fires here today.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get you in for the refrigerator plays.
Wonderful.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks so much. Thanks Ellen. Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks. Bye-bye.